You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. Have you taken a good hard look in the mirror lately? Do you not like what you see? Do you think you could stand to lose a few pounds before the summer swimsuit season starts? But you're not really sure which diet might be the best one for you? You want to go on a diet? Okay. Well, maybe my next guest might be able to help. He put four groups of people on four popular diets and tested them all in each diet. He chose his own diet, the Ornish diet, the Atkins diet, and the Learn diet, which is based on the USDA's nutrition recommendations, you know, that food pyramid. And more than 300 overweight women were assigned to one of the four diets and did their best to follow them for 1 year. And when they stepped on the scales 12 months later, one diet stood out among the rest. The study is out in this week's issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association. Joining me now to talk about it is the diet study's lead author, Christopher Gardner, assistant professor of medicine in the Stanford Prevention Research Center at Stanford University School of Medicine. Welcome to the program, Dr. Gardner.
Thank you, Ira.
Haven't they been compared before, all these diets?
They have. They were compared in some smaller, earlier studies, and not too many people finished the study, and they didn't do a great job of collecting diet data to see what they were actually eating, which is, those are all steps that we improved on for this larger, longer study.
Tell us about the four different diets.
So the Atkins is a very, very low carbohydrate diet, and there actually aren't any rules for fat or protein, which is one of the reasons it's been vilified, because some people try to follow it by eating steak and whipped cream and cheese, and that has nutritionists concerned. The second diet is the Zone diet, which is an interesting balance of 40-30-30, 40% carb, 30 protein, 30 fat. 30 fat is pretty typical of what people say, but 40% carb is low and 30% protein is high. So that's another challenge to the national recommendations. The Ornish diet is a largely vegetarian diet. It's 10% fat, which is extremely low. And if the typical protein intake is 15 to 20% calories, that leaves 70 to 75% from carb, which is completely the opposite end of the spectrum. So it's interesting that these diet plans are so completely different and have challenged the national guidelines saying this is a better way to do it with not much data to look and compare.
And your study showed the winner was?
Well, I think this has been exaggerated tremendously in the press. The modest winner was the group that got assigned to Atkins. Probably the more informative result from this is how difficult it was for real-life people to take these books and follow them for a whole year. Now, actually, they each had a leg up because for 8 weeks, a dietitian helped them once a week for an hour to understand the books cover to cover, and then they were left for 10 months on their own to follow them as best they could. So it is true that at the end, Atkins had an average 10-pound weight loss compared to 3.5 for Zone and about 5 for Learn and Ornish.
That's twice the weight loss, isn't it?
That is, but it's modest. These women were 15 to 100 pounds overweight. Now, on the other hand, even with modest weight loss, in all four groups, their blood pressure got better, their cholesterol got better, their insulin got better. So it is really nice to know that if you are overweight, you don't have to lose 50 pounds to see these benefits. They happen right away. You can get some good clinical benefits right away. Of the things that were statistically significant at the end of the 12 months, Atkins did better than just one of the groups on HDL cholesterol, better than just one of the groups on triglycerides, and better than all three of the groups on blood pressure. But the results and the differences weren't astounding. This isn't the solution to the obesity epidemic. One of the really interesting findings was that at the end of the 12 months, the Ornish folks who were supposed to be at 10% fat were at 30% fat.
So they didn't stay on the diet.
And that's real-life situations. So I know the authors of these have been called and asked to comment, and they said this isn't fair. They didn't follow our diets. And there might have been two ways to do this. You could have fed people all the food to make sure they ate the diets exactly as the authors prescribed. That's one research question. Ours was, if you give these popular diets that are out in the popular press challenging national recommendations, and you ask hundreds of women to try to follow them after being randomly assigned, how do they do a year later? And either the diets are hard to follow, or they're confusing to read, or something, there's too many other environmental factors getting in the way of people trying to follow the diets.
Steve in West Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi.
Hi there. Go ahead. Turn your radio down.
I would like to comment that there certainly has the Atkins diet goes against 30 years of scientific research on how to improve the health of Americans and people around the world. And for instance, the largest epidemiological, not the largest, the most comprehensive epidemiological study ever done, the Cornell-Oxford China study, states that the number one nutritional cause of cancer is animal protein. So the tragedy of this study is that if people, the Atkins diet seems to have been dying. Certainly, Dr. Atkins had.
Steve. Yeah. So your point is that you may lose weight, but you may your health may be not benefit by this.
Absolutely.
Certainly, okay. Let me get a reaction because I haven't got a lot of time.
There were benefits to the health.
What do you say to that, doctor?
Yep, so that's certainly a concern that we all have, that if it's saturated fat and high animal protein that you're doing on this low-carbohydrate diet, that that's a risk for long-term health. All we have is 12-month data,
Yeah. And
it only pertains to weight loss and the immediate health factors that go along with that. They did a very interesting look in the nurses' health study at those on a low-carbohydrate diet, and the protection from cardiovascular disease was evident if you looked at those on a low-carbohydrate diet who got their fats and protein from animal sources. I'm sorry, from plant sources and lean animal sources. So we're definitely not promoting the steak and the brie. We are promoting low refined sugar, white bread, high fructose corn syrup. That's really what the Atkins hits head on more than the other diets. They all say that, but Atkins says to eliminate it, and maybe as a simple message, that's more effective than mm-hmm. the low fat that we've been saying for a long time that's been abused.
You know, people always wonder why you left out certain things. Why did you leave out, for example, Weight Watchers, something like that?
Well, interesting, in the beginning, we wrestled with what that intermediate group should be between Zone and Ornish, something that more closely followed the food pyramid. And Weight Watchers would have been great if they had a book, but part of this study was we were handing out books and asking people to read through them and follow them for the rest of the 10 months, and there wasn't a good book that we found that was a popular diet. And so what we went with is Kelly Brownell's manual. It's the LEARN program. It wasn't really meant to be a popular diet, but it did promote the food pyramid and exercise and behavior modification. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it might have been a better control group because mm-hmm. that's the health professional's approach. So these were compared to usual care.
Yeah. Did you learn anything about exercise here? Could you follow, you know, what the effects of possibly of exercise? Because they always tell us, don't diet without the exercise.
Right. And everybody, on average, all four groups increased their exercise a small amount. And there was no difference in the small amount of increase they all experienced. And that's a hugely important point, Ira, is this is really just a dietary component and needs to be placed in the hugely larger context of exercise and other lifestyle mm-hmm. factors.
Can there be a follow-up to this study? What would you do next?
Oh, absolutely. I think, so my thought here is maybe this somehow, if it's not abused, that this low-carb message could be a paradigm shift from the low-fat message that we've tried for a really long time. And think how the low-fat message got oversimplified and messed up. When we said low-fat, we thought vegetables and whole grains. Other people thought a whole box of low-fat cookies, and they gained weight. Well, the majority of an average person's diet comes from carbohydrates. And in the last couple decades, the proportion of those carbohydrates coming from snacks and soda pop and junk carbohydrates has continued to increase. It might be that a simple message of low carb would get a bigger bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. My only fear is that it'll fall short and be oversimplified just like low fat was. And while trying to follow low carb, you'll get the steak and the brie, and you'll completely mess that one up too.
Hmm. So you have to pay attention here about what kind of message that you're sending.
Yeah, so the scientists can agree on, yes, low simple carbs and five colors a day of vegetables and fruits and unsaturated fats and lots of fiber. And I think we don't do a great job of trying to communicate that simplistically to the average person who's trying to follow mm-hmm. 10 things at mm-hmm. once and isn't actually sure where all those nutrients come from. They don't buy nutrients, they buy food. So how can we give them simpler, clearer messages mm-hmm. to help them cut back on their calories and pick foods that are satiating, they're not hungry, they can do this long-term, not short-term? Clearly, short-term is not the answer, and our study may have been longer than others, and yet it's only 12 months, and that's not far. That's not long enough at all.
Karen in Culver, Oregon. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
I'm happy to talk with you. I want to say that this is of absolutely my own experience. Now, and I hear the other people talking about it, and, you know, I'm not making money out of it or nothing. I'm just going to tell you what my own experience is. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yes. And I lost, year before last, in the summer, I lost, between 4.5 and 5 pounds every week. And this was why I didn't have any freaky diet. I read in Adele Davis, you know, she's an old-time, you know, nutritionist, and probably her books are, maybe they're out of print now. I don't know. I have ones that I've had ever since I was a kid. If you follow that, you eat properly. Actually, you're never hungry because you have to get your little bit of oil every 3 hours, but it is not saturated fat oil. It is either from nuts or mayonnaise or some type of, you know, natural kind of oil. You have to do that. And you just get it from a teeny little bit. It keeps you from being hungry. You eat. The only thing bad
about
the diet
is, what about portion control? You have to control the size of what you're eating?
Well, you aren't going to be able to stuff that much in.
Well, you see, the portions you get in restaurants or whatever.
Like a piece of fish, a piece of chicken. I was just getting ready to say, the only thing wrong with the diet, which I have found, what other people told me, is you get kind of bored after a while because there aren't that many different things that you can eat. I mean, you got your fish.
Karen, let me get a comment because we're running out of time. Doctor?
Yeah, it's an excellent point. So Karen's choices of fats and protein were great there. Those are the sources that we want. And Ira, your point is an excellent one, too, is that typically we only get funded to do these studies for 6 months or a year or 2 years, and the only way to lose weight and keep it off is to eat that way for the rest of your life. And if you're bored, that won't work for the rest of your life. So that's another challenge that we have in the nutrition community, making it fun and exciting and tasty and aromatic.
Talking about diets this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking with Christopher Gardner, assistant professor of medicine at Stanford, 1-800-989-8255. Did you control or measure how much exercise the women got, or you just thought this would be, you know, it would norm itself out over all those women?
No, we did assess exercise, and all four books promote exercise.
Right.
Really, the dietitian was hitting on the fact that they were such a wide range of carbohydrate recommendations as the underlying theme here. But by the end of 12 months, even for the diet recommendations they had, they weren't near the 40-30-30 of zone. They weren't near the 10% fat of Ornish. And they, even in the Atkins group, they weren't at the 50 grams of carbohydrate a day. Now, is that a problem of the way the books are written or the way the foods are offered in our environment? I can't tell that part. We had these folks follow the books on their own in the real world the best they could, and they found them hard to follow.
Now, why only women? What happened to the guys?
It's a simple question. There are some differences between men and women, and when you finish these studies, somebody's going to ask you, was there a difference between the men and the women? And if you don't have enough people, you can't answer it well. So we would have answered it poorly, and we wrestled with this at the beginning, and it was simpler to do with one population and not make excuses later for why you didn't have both. And maybe this was to hedge our bets, and if it worked, we would have got another huge grant to study it in men, and that would have kept us busy for a while, but jokingly.
There's always tomorrow.
Yeah, we can do another study. The next study we do would certainly be different, knowing how difficult it is to follow those diets out to 12 months. We do certainly have some follow-up ideas, and they're really along the lines of this low carbohydrate focus.
Tell us about how you would refine the next study.
So the next study would be quality fats and quality proteins and quality carbs, and it would be low fat or low carb or low protein, and do them head to head when all the nutrient sources come from unsaturated fats, the veggies, the avocados, the fish oil. The protein would come from soy and broccoli and fish. The carbs would be whole grains and five colors of vegetables a day. And head-to-head, if they were all from great stuff, would it matter if it was low in fat or low in carb or low in protein? Or is it just more important that they're good sources of all three?
What about the trans fats issue?
Oh, and that falls totally hand in hand with the low carbohydrate, refined carbohydrate. Look where they are. They've put them in all the snack junk foods to give them a fat feel and to keep icing from melting off the top of the cookie or the cake. So as soon as you do that approach, you don't even have to think of the trans fats because they're not there. You're not buying those cookies.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to study they've been studied a lot, diets in other cultures, some which are high in omega-3 fatty acids, or diets, the Mediterranean diets, where they seem to eat well and don't gain weight and have heart disease?
Well, it's a fantastic idea. You could do the Asian diet versus the Mediterranean diet versus the American Indian diet. And what's typically a challenge in those is it sounds easy to say Mediterranean and then get somebody to agree exactly. Here's a 7-day menu. Is this 7-day menu Mediterranean? Well, if you get everybody's opinion, they're going to say, no, you don't have enough nuts. No, you don't have enough legumes. No, you don't have enough seeds. So in general, you could come up with this idea. It would be hard to study because it's not a pill study. You can't just say they took the pill and they didn't. They ate this diet. Just like the folks tried to follow Ornish and these other diets and it was difficult, how would you be sure they followed a Mediterranean diet? There isn't one. Those are the diets of the cultures all around the Mediterranean Sea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to take thank you for taking time to be with us, Doctor, and good luck on your next study.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Ira, and to talk to your guest there.
Thank you. Christopher Gardner is Assistant Professor of Medicine at Stanford Preventive Research Center. That's at Stanford University School of Medicine. Our program is produced by Karen Vergoth, Senior Producer Annette Heiss. Charles Berquist is our director, and Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Flora's got some really interesting follow-up stuff on our website. If you'd like to surf over to sciencefriday.com, not only do we have today's programs on there, but we're also featuring videos now, other science news from around the world that we have new kinds of blogs, audio productions, video productions, very interesting stuff. We're adding extra stuff to our website. We invite you to join it. Also, you can leave us mail or surf over to, as I say, our mail section, or you can send us mail the old-fashioned way, Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306. New York, New York, 10036. Also, we're podcasting and blogging. I hope that you get involved in that. And also, Science Friday's Kids Connection, free teaching materials available to teachers on the website. Please check it out and download it as you need it. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.